Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Farm Talk. Friday afternoon, round and third, heading for home. Here we go. North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist Doug Lear is here. Hello, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
A lovely day. Well, kind of a lovely day. I mean, the temperature, it's not oppressively hot. We were in drought mode. It still is quite dry. Grassland fire danger high out there in West River of South Dakota. But for the most part, well, what's the old saying? The rain in Spain falls mainly in the plains, but in the Dakotas, it kind of fell almost everywhere except west of the Missouri.
Well, and in a couple different directions. First and foremost, I hear what you're saying, and okay, it was like 68, 69 degrees yesterday. That's not summer, Mick.
In July, I know. This is it leaves a lot to be desired.
That's where we've been. Where are we going? Yeah. Are we gonna? Because as I have learned so studiously from yourself, is that weather is a pattern, and mm-hmm. weather gets into a cycle, and you don't have to be a meteorologist to know that we've been, at least in our backyard. In our backyard, it's been cooler and wetter than what we would expect for the middle of July, save for southwestern South Dakota, and a lot wetter in the lakes region of Minnesota. But where are we going? Are we going to pull out of this pattern? It almost feels like maybe we are starting to pull out of it, Mick.
Yes, we will be. By a week from today, we will be so hot, everybody's going to be looking for the AC.
Really?
Yes. And the grain markets have been talking about that for a week now, and the closer we get to the actual event, the more the Weather Service is kind of ratcheting up the temperatures. There'll be some triple digits in eastern South Dakota next week.
Wow. Okay. So, and again, speaking in terms of the cycles, does that mean that it's going to stick around like that for a while? Are you thinking that's what the backside of July is going to be pretty hot and pretty dry for the most part, Mick?
Well, in January, that's what I was forecasting.
You were? Very accurately.
However, it looks like it might be a heat bubble, but there is no way of knowing how long it is going to last, if it might last 10 days to 2 weeks, or if it will last well into August. So it looks like it could back off a little bit, but it's going to be hot and dry. Mother Nature is going to turn the spigot off, and the likelihood of rain on the central plains and the northern plains going to get a lot less likely as we work our way through July into August.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think it was, I don't remember what day it was. Earlier this week, you were talking crops in Baton Rouge. Where is that? And just, you know,
oh, down in Delta, Missouri.
Missouri. I heard Delta, and I was thinking like Mississippi. So I kind of had the Delta, but a little off on the geography.
The little town of Delta in southeast Missouri in the Boot Heel. So I was going to joke around about that. You know, it's Northerners geographically challenged when it comes to down south. That when we say Delta, we think he must be farming on the bayou,
but I'm guilty. I am guilty because and as you know, sometimes you catch little snippets of radio and you don't get the full story. So color me guilty, Mick. Color me guilty.
But it's Jerry Cox that I was interviewing, yeah. And he was talking about he's had a drought and a flood, and so I was saying, well, the rest of the year should be perfect. Then you've already had the extremes. So.
Yeah, and yesterday you were out at the Red River Valley Fair, and mm-hmm. boy, I tell you what, when you talk about the mid part of summer, that's definitely a signature that we're on the backside of summer when we get to that point, Mick.
And I wore my long pants, a long sleeve shirt, and a jacket, and well, I didn't need an umbrella, but. Yeah, it's way too cool. So now, are the pheasants going to catch cold and croak? Or
well, they could. Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that that hunters and landowners and farmers and ranchers and people can definitely understand is that wildlife prefers things in the middle. I mean, I'm a creature that enjoys the extremes. I love the cold. I love the hot, and the 75 degrees and in the just isn't reality. But that's what the pheasants would have liked to have had. And places like central Minnesota with 7-8 inches of rain and floods that washes out any kind of ground nesting birds. And southwestern South Dakota, when you crank things up to triple digits like you're talking, they're a little bit more, you know, rooster pheasants, they're from China, so they're a little bit more tolerable of those extreme warm temperatures. And across central North Dakota, I know we've had some bumpy weather over the last week, but I will tell you that when it comes down to it, probably, and again, it's so spot specific, is that you could probably go to a township that had had rain and didn't need any rain. You could go to another township in the same county that you know didn't need rain. Generally speaking, this rain that we had across North Dakota and across the Midwest is really kind of just what the doctor ordered. I mean, I walked out in my backyard, and after 2 inches of rain, I was wondering if my rain gauge was right.
Yeah.
Because it soaked right on in, Mick.
Yeah, and I talked to people over in western Minnesota even, where they got 9 inches. I think got 10 over by Brainerd. There was standing water after the deluge, but not now.
Right, and that's what's really the eye opener is, you know, my neighbor Gordy and you know, digging his potatoes a week and a half ago, talking about how dry it was. You'd go down and it was dry. You'd go down and it was dry, and it was still dry. We were in central North Dakota in Stutsman County before the rains came, and places like Jamestown Reservoir. You looked at it and you're like, wow, that's definitely doesn't look like the middle of July. From the Red River and again all across the central region, is that you knew that we could use the precipitation and the moisture. Now, again, in the short term, there was some hail, there's some devastation to crops, there's some gully washers that were hard on pheasants. But in the long term, this is what our reservoirs, what our sloughs, what our potholes definitely needed to recharge things. We get worried in dry stretches of midsummer with stagnant water. And you've heard some of the concerns about blue-green algae and the toxins and some of and that's not just from concerns about fish and about wildlife, but for cattle.
Right.
And some of the concerns over stagnant sloughs, Mick.
Water quality. Yeah, visit with Jerry Stocca, NDSU Extension Livestock Stewardship Specialist, about all that. And so the rain is helping that, the inflow. How about does it also, because some of the fishermen that I've spent time with have said that as we get a big rain, it washes into the lake a lot of food. And so the fishing goes bad after a big rain. Is that true?
And you're right. And there's a couple different levels. Is first and foremost that, you know, fish aren't as responsive in the middle of the storms with the barometric pressure, the bumpy weather, and that's people have seen that and felt that for literally generations. Is that it louses up the fishing just a little bit in the short term on that, but once the weather stabilizes, things kind of get into a little better fishing pattern. You can take places and different species of fish. You know, take the Red River. Catfish don't like the murky water. So when you get gully washers like we've had going into the Red River, that slows down catfishing. But as you alluded to, you go across places from the Mouse River in Minot to Devil's Lake and down to Lake Oahe and any place else in Dickinson, Patterson Lake, any place else that's needed a shot of precipitation, there's a lot of nutrients that gets washed into those lakes and into those reservoirs, and that can set up for a good, a really good supply of food for those fish, gets them into a little bit of a feeding mode. Mm-hmm. And what anglers tend to do is kind of follow that. They kind of follow, it's the same mindset of when we talk about big winds on Devil's Lake or Lake of the Woods or down across Lake Hawaii. When you have big winds, you follow the wind, because that wind is going to blow the natural food source over to that wind-blown side, and the fish kind of gravitate over towards that. So sure. If you're looking for places to fish going into this weekend, one of the things that we would suggest is finding, if it's a reservoir, finding some of those inflows. If it's a river, finding some of those creeks that go into there. And especially with the high flows that we're going to have in some of these rivers and streams and creeks, you're going to see that those confluences, whether they're big ones or small ones, we're not just talking about the Yellowstone and the Missouri River. We're talking about some of the smaller ones from the Knife River and then the little feeder creeks into that. Those are really good spots for anglers to give it a try to. It should, as you said, you know, going into next week, we're going to crank up the thermometer. Mm-hmm. And I've been wrong a lot. You know, you can ask my wife, you can ask my neighbors. I have been wrong a lot. But the combination that we have with a fresh shot of water, with higher river and creek flows, and then turning up the thermometer. I think next week. Next week, ooh, if you got some time to go fishing, that might be the time to take a couple days off, an afternoon, a morning, or something like that, and go wet a line, Mick.
All right, or over the noon hour or something. You know, like Chris Hall, South Dakota Game Fishing Parks, he keeps talking about the noon hour fishing.
Yeah, well, and we see more and more of that, of people realizing that maybe it's not the quantity. Maybe you don't have an entire weekend. Maybe you don't even have the entire morning. But whether you're waking up in Mobridge or Minot or anywhere in between, you're not far away from wetting the line, especially nowadays. And I think people realize that the only limitation is sometimes our own motivation. It's right. Like, well, I suppose I'll just sit. No, grab your rod. And especially with a lot of the artificial baits that you have now, you don't have to be worrying about, finding a bait shop or anything. You bring your bait along with you, and you're just a couple minutes away from enjoying a little bit of fishing, Mick.
Hey, even some gummy worms might work.
They do. They do. It's been done, and it's been done in Chamberlain, South Dakota. Been there, done that. You can catch them on gummy worms, Mick. You can.
Amazing. But catfish don't like murky water. But then, now that's counterintuitive. We got to take a break, but let's talk about that after the break.
Sounds good, Mick.
All righty. It's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist Doug Lear here on a Friday. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Growers Studio. This is Farm Talk.